السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam on Midway 1548. Time right now for our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, who we have online right now. Our lines are open, 854-1548. If anybody has any other questions that you would like to ask, you can SMS us on our mobile number 0823565988, 0823565988, or alternatively email us on air@radioislam.co.za. Okay, let's go live with Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, we're going for the first question today, not wasting any time. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Would Mufti please be able to help me by telling me what it would mean if a person dreams of themselves drowning and mountains crumbling, but in both dreams I was making dhikr? This is very important as we are faced with a difficult decision and I have been asking Allah for guidance. Jazakallah.
First of all, at the moment my line is not very clear. I think I cannot hear you all very clearly, but however, I think you all can hear me very clearly. The program, however, is not to interpret dreams. However, make an exception to this, that obviously the person is unfortunately undergoing great difficulties and he is going to unfortunately undergo greater problems and difficulties, so the person should make istighfar, make some charity, and also become regular in acting upon the Shariat of Islam.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. We have a very important question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. The qabr is a grave, so how is it that women are allowed at the mazar? And how can a Muslim woman say that she is a hakim? Because the bawas come to her and she gets the power to heal and destroy evil. This sounds like kufr and shirk. Shukran.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna repeat it.
Okay, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. The qabr is a grave, so how is it that women are allowed at the mazar? And how can a Muslim woman say she is a hakim? Because the bawas come to her and she gets the power to heal and to destroy things. This sounds like kufr and shirk.
Okay, got it. First of all, that we still stay with our ruling concerning visiting of graves by females. We are very clear about it, and there are hadiths in Ibn Majah and reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that first are the women who visit graves. So majority of the ulama of the opinion that females must not and should not visit the graves. Exception has been made to the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, there is a very minority group of ulama who even say, and some of these ulama are from the Indo-Pak subcontinent, and some of these ulama are from the Arab from the kingdom, that they say, no, the females must not be allowed to even visit the grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But most of the ulama are saying that they should not be visiting graves. Now, when most of the ulama are saying the women should not visit graves, that means they should not be visiting the graves of the pious personalities, of the Buzurgan-e-Deen, of the Awliya-e-Ikram, of the Sahaba-e-Ikram. They should not be visiting the grave. Now, the second question is something else. Yes, a female can be blessed with certain qualities that can have healing qualities, and the female is no exception to the rule, that can be blessed with certain healing qualities. However, we have to have our aqidah correct, that everything happens by the will of Allah, sickness is from the will of Allah, and cure is also from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when she is eating, also all the laws of hijab and parda have to be strictly maintained.
JazakAllah for the Fadlat Mufti Sahab. Taking the next question now, we know Mufti Sahab that a couple of weeks ago we were speaking on this thing of Sahar and Jadu. We have a question saying, can a Mawlana tell a person the name of the person making Jadu on a certain person?
Now this has become a fashion, unfortunately. And certain times, those who indulge in amaliyat, that means they issue ta'weezes and they so-called extract jinnat and they chase away jinnat and they remove jadu, asar, seher, all these things. But most of them, unfortunately, are professional con artists and they just take the money of the public, which is highly gullible. Now, they at times erroneously mention that so-and-so has done jadu on you. First of all, in the court of law, in the Islamic court of law, it has no ground, no validity. Because this diagnostic check by the amil to see whether you got jadu, jinnat, seher, athar, it is all zanniyat, minas zanniyat. It is speculative. It is conjecture. It is not certain. It is not something that is finite or definite. So in the court of law, it will be thrown out, number one. Secondly, that unfortunately, some of these people, they say so-and-so has done it. That is erroneous because it leads to fighting, quarrel, discord, disunity, feud, family feuds. And the foreigner who habitually does that activity is a sinner, because he should fully well know that his science is mere conjecture and he should not be involving specific people and accusing people. Unfortunately, if you find a Molana who is doing that, then 9 out of 10 times he is faking, he is not true. And he is not pious, definitely, because a pious person and a righteous person will not indulge in creating family feuds and family disunity.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Okay, we got any callers online? Okay, we got our first caller. Let's take the caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. My nephew, as soon as my mother gets him to be a priest, and then when he gets up, he prays a lot. So when he gets up, and my mother gives him milk, everything, to drink everything. Then later again, he cries a lot. Although she reads everything, like all the du'as, everything, but he still cries. What can we do?
Sir, did you get that?
No, you will just repeat it for me.
Okay, okay. JazakAllah, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
And I have another query also.
Okay, fine.
My mother, she head and her feet, her face, her lot, everything. But she takes tablets, everything, but nothing wants to rescue us. What can she do?
Okay, JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum. The first question was, the baby cries a lot.
Right.
What can they read to make this child stop crying?
The baby cries a lot.
Okay.
Baby crying a lot. Sometimes it is nazar. The ulama have stated that read the Mawazatain, the last two kuls, that means kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak and nas, and blow upon the child. And do this especially when you come from salah. That means the male of the house or the female of the house after performing salah, because salah is that time when a person is in communion with Allah, is focused, is in a state of spiritual advancement. So after that, to come and blow on the child, inshallah, that child will be relieved. So do that, failing which, increase it by Ayatul Kursi, failing which, then read the entire manzil. Read the entire manzil. On water and let the child drink that water.
The second question was, the sister's mother head and her feet pain a lot. What can she do?
Can you repeat that?
The sister's mother, she says that her mother's head and feet pains a lot. What can she read for this pain to go away?
Pain.
Yeah.
Pain is stated clearly in the hadith that Surah Fatiha is a shifa for everything, and ulama have stated that place your hand in the area of pain and recite Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow in that area and simultaneously remove the hand. So recite Surah Fatiha. It is good to recite Durood Sharif before and after that. Recite Surah Fatiha also in water and let the person drink. And before doing any of these activities, have full yakin, faith, conviction that Allah is the curer and Allah is the one relieving. And inshallah, the person will be relieved of the pain.
Taking the next question we have here, it says, can a woman have waxing or laser hair removal done to the body parts which belong to sitar, example, her thighs?
For medical reasons, it is permissible.
Okay, we got another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My mother's father passed away when she was 10 years old in India. And her grandfather used to look after the masjid in Jalalpur. And her father was killed by some jadu that a woman caused. And he was very handsome. And there was a blacksmith that was a very pious person. And he used to put a bangle around her ankle. And then she had to climb some steps, and that bangle would squeeze her and make her admit that she had done this. Jazakallah, Sheikh.
Okay, Jim Muftisab, did you get that? Muftisab?
Yes.
Did you get that?
No, I never get that, but
okay,
yeah.
She says that her mother's father was killed in India. He was living in India, and the person that made jadu on the father,
yeah,
he died out of jadu virtually. There was a blacksmith that told him, made her do something with a bangle, and at the end she had to admit that she made jadu.
Yeah.
Can this be possible?
If she's admitting that she went and had some black magic dunneries, then it is possible. If she is admitting this, we are not saying, because the hadith is clearly concerning all these activities, it exists. It was done upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. So definitely there is existence in it. But unfortunately, we should not overplay. These days, the tendency amongst us is anything going wrong, we say it is nazar, jadu, seher, jinnat, whereas we should follow the normal course of action, and later when everything fails, then regard it as something outside. These days, as soon as something starts, we say outside influence. Outside, and we start accusing, quarrel, family feuds, etc. And a Muslim should be avoiding that. A Muslim should be avoiding suspicion. We should act upon the Sharia, become regular in Salat, read our Quran daily, and make dua. Allah Jalla Majdahu will protect us, inshallah, from these evils. Al-Ainu Haqqun, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, the evil eye is truthful. So Nazar is a reality. Jadu is a reality. Black magic is a reality. Existence of Jinnat is part of our belief. Influence and effect of Jinnat is part of our belief. But to regard everything that goes wrong, whether it is small or big, as Jadu, Jinnat, that is on the brinks of superstition and can make a person go dilly and make a person hallucinate. So we should be very cautious about this.
JazakAllah for that, Mustafa. Taking the next question now. A sister says, is it the mother and the father's right to name the newborn child?
It is the right of the father and the mother, that means the husband and the wife, they should make mashura amongst themselves and name the child. Out of respect, yes. Generally in our Indian families, out of respect, they ask the elderly personnel of either side of the family, and the elderly personnel from either side of the family should not regard this as their birthright to give the name of the child. They should present their opinion and not force down their view. The right belongs to the husband and the wife. Also, they should make mashwara, and happily, this is a joyous occasion. A child is coming, a child has come, and they should not turn it into a fight and a quarrel, and not turn it into an unpleasant affair. And they should keep such a name that is recorded, and the names of the Anbiya and the pious should be kept.
Jazakumullah for the Mufassab. Taking the next question now, it says, both parents passed away. A person wants to catch up, they must salah. How does he go about doing this?
If both of these parents have passed away and have left no wasiya, bequest, will, stipulating that certain amount of money should be utilized as kafara for their missed fast or their missed salah, that this person, out of his own accord, voluntarily, as an optional activity, hoping that Allah Jalla Majdahu will forgive his parents, he can estimate how many fast and how many salat they missed, do the calculation, and then utilizing the services of the ulama to do the calculation, that give it out in charity, and the recipients of that are the same recipients of zakat, hoping and praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his voluntarily charity in lieu of the defects or the missed fast or the missed salat of his parents.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Taking the next question now, it says, Mufti, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Is it true that when the janazah is lying in the lounge, the ruh is near the body, and the ruh can hear everything? So can a person whisper to the ruh and ask him for forgiveness? And does the ruh reply?
There are two, three things very separate here. One is that when the soul comes out of the body of a person, a Muslim, then it will either go for registration to Illiyin or Sijiyin, places where good souls are registered and place where bad souls are registered. And this is done at a high speed, and then the soul has a contact with the body. When the soul has a contact with the body, it is like a sleeping person now. But death is like a person who is in a completely sleeping coma, unconscious state. So a person who is in a sleeping coma, unconscious state, although the soul in that case is there within the body, but talking to a person whilst the person is sleeping, the person cannot respond. Talking to a person while a person is unconscious, the person does not even know you're speaking to him, let alone respond. A person who is in coma, you talk to him, he cannot even listen, let alone respond. So the dead person is beyond all these three stages, sleep, coma, or unconscious. That person is already in another state, although the soul has got a certain amount of contact onto that person, or on that person, and also stating things like, take me quickly, because if that person is a good person, or tarry and delay if that person is not a good person. There are hadith, there are sayings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to this issue, where the soul talks, and once it go quickly towards the grave or delay, etc. As far as the soul can listen, yes, if we, Allah Jalla Majdahu wants the soul to listen, or that person to listen and see, that is also recorded and that is also possible and probable. But when you go in a room and a person is lying down dead, then one person should not have the belief, oh, this man, he can see me, or the person lying down there can hear me, or I can now ask for maafi. That's too late now. You cannot go to a dead person and say, now forgive me. Now that is too late. The water has gone under the bridge. Everything is over now.
Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Take the next after we go to call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. What I wanted to ask Muftisab is whether it's permissible to determine the gender of the unborn child. Jazakallah.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Jee Muftisab.
It is permissible to do so. The ayat, the last ayat of Surah Luqman, wherein Allah Jalla Majdahu talks about the five things which are completely unknown to man, then it does not refer to the gender there. It refers to whether the unborn is going to be fortunate or misfortunate. It's going to be wealthy or not wealthy. It refers to the condition of happiness and joy, sadness and difficulty of the unborn. It does not refer to the gender. Some unfortunately think that ayat refers to the gender and therefore say, no, you cannot go for a scan and you cannot have a scan to determine and to find out what is the gender of the unborn baby. However, if a person does not want to find out, although it's privileged to have a scan, etc., then it is the prerogative of the patient. And it is no harm in not even finding out.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufisab. We're taking the next call, another call, okay, fine. It says, is it permissible to take the body after ghusl straight to the Qabristan?
That means you do not take it to the house. Yes, it is absolutely permissible. If, for example, there is now the ghusl has been done and the body is taken from there straight from that place to the Qabristan for Salat and Janazah, it is absolutely permissible. If there is no need, or they feel there is no need to go to the house, or if there is no house even present, then it is permissible. We have in our areas that those brothers who are not from South Africa, then we see that on a regular basis, that in our local what you call burial area and ghusl khana for the deceased, that the deceased, they give ghusl, and from there direct the body is taken to the Qabristan for Salat e Janaza. There is no harm in that.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. I am a sister in niqab and my family wants me to go to the movies with them. I refused and they don't want to understand. I can't do that.
You have done the right thing. They are behaving in a completely un-Islamic manner. They have not even understood the rules and parameters of niqab and hijab. You should start talim in your house. You should start making dua and educating them what are the rules of hijab, parda, modesty. And in this age, to go out to the cinema houses, these are dens of evil, immorality, sin. And these are places where the major sins are perpetrated and wherein the wrath and the anger of Allah Jalla Majdahu descends. These are places where they earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should stay on your grounds and explain to them you cannot go to these evil places.
Jazakumullah. Just to remind our listeners, lines are open 8541548. Our mobile number is 0823565988. Okay, we're taking the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, I have about 4 or 5 questions. My first question is, what is the permissibility of celebrating the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how should it be done? For example, in our locality, they have an entire day of celebrations where they have lectures and then they have meals and then they stand and they read Durood and Salaam. I would like to know Mufti Saab to give us a little bit of insight in that. My second question is, arising out of that, some people claim that they have the hair of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they make ziyarats of that Baal Mubarak. In other words, they have set aside a special time, and I think they have Qatam and so forth. So I would like to know about the permissibility of doing such an act. The third thing, that the people that have this hair believe that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not cast a shadow. And one of the canons of testing whether it is the hair of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they say that this hair does not cast shadow. So could Mufti Saab please elaborate on that further? Then the fourth question is, also in my locality, they have a thing called Julus, which will be marching in the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, they will gather all, I don't know, men and march from street to street with flags and banners. Now, is this permissible? And was this done in the time of the Sahabas? And the last question is, in our locality, there are certain people, when dua is being read, they do not lift their hands. In other words, they stand still with their hands on their side. That is, in salah, after the farah salah, they would not lift their hands. And if they are at the graveyard, they will read the dua, but they don't even lift their hands again. So I'd like to know what was the correct procedure as far as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was concerned in that. Jazakallah, listen on the ear.
Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Mr. Jay. Celebrating the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So, the brother, alhamdulillah, he said 5 questions, he asked a lot of questions and alhamdulillah, disappeared. So, first of all, that our deen is perfect. Our deen is complete. Our deen is simple. Our deen is easy. And Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala alhum ajma'in, they are those who practice upon our deen. And they are the ones who are were the living examples about the practicality and the completion of Islam. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajmain, they are proof in Sharia. What they did, as in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bis sunnati wa sunnatul khulafai rashideen al-mahdiyin min ba'di, that hold fast upon my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen who come after me. That means this hadith states that the actions of the Sahaba are proof in Sharia. And the famous hadith that we hear Friday khutbah, that khayra quruni karni summa allazina yalunahum summa allazina yalunahum, the best of times is my time, and then the subsequent one, and then the subsequent one. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the time of the Sahaba. 124,000 Sahaba existed. None of them celebrated birthday of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and none of them did it like how it has been done these days. So we should not participate in any function that has got music, that has got poetry having blasphemous recitals in it, has got intermingling of genders, has got such activities that derail a person from performing the salah, photography. And remember one thing clearly, to talk about Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rewarding. To talk about his urine and his feces and stool is rewarding also, according to us. We are not denying the status of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we are clearly stating that do what is proven, abstain from what is not proven. So these celebrations and these marches, etc., Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmaeen, Peer Ali Peer Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jainari Rahmatullah Alayhi, the four illustrious Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal, the great Muhaddisin, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, etc. No one of them took out juluses, banners, flags, etc. None of them had these celebrations. But every one of them, on a daily basis, spoke about the grandeur and life and greatness of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, he instructed Sahaba that do not stand for me in respect like how the foreigners stood up for their ambiyas and their rulers. So we should not be standing up and reciting salam. Go to my website. There is an article on the issue of salam, alislam.co.za. As far as the hair of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, then in conjunction with the shadow of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ulama state that there was a cloud over Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make it comfortable and easy for beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The condition or the position of shadow doesn't, or the academic discussion of shadow doesn't come, because he had a shadow, but the cloud overshadowed that shadow. So the hair will have a shadow, and there are those who are very vehemently against this hair showbiz, and they say no, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no part of his body can ever be burnt. We are of the opinion that we would not say this is a lie, or we will not testify to its truthfulness, because we do not know. But definitely we would not make ziyarat of it and make a show of it. Why? Because when there is uncertainty about it, and Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala rumajmai, it is proven they had the hair of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there was no official day for ziyarat, and there was no official function for ziyarat, etc. So you should not be going for that function also. And to go out for marches, etc., it was not done during the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala rumajmain. Part of etiquette of dua is to lift your hands in dua. It is mustahab to make the dua after Faras Salat, and the etiquette of dua is to lift your hands in dua. So both are proven after Faras Salat. The dua is proven, and to lift up your dua is proven. And at the graveyard, if you want to lift your hands, then you may do so. If you want to leave your hands, then you may do so. There's an article of ours, it's called The Etiquette of Visiting the Graveyard. It's on our website, alislam.co.za. However, in the graveyard, if you see someone lifting, do not object. And if you see someone not lifting, do not object.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Take the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum, please ask Mufti if it is permissible to read tasbih on both right and left hands. Please explain. JazakAllah.
It is permissible to do so.
So let's take the next question. Just to remind us, the line is open 854-1548. Mobile number is 0823565988. Is it permissible to break ties with a relative who accuses you of making jadu and nazar on her and her children?
If someone openly accuses you and you are not the guilty party, then you should not be breaking ties. However, you should be abstaining, meaning that do not frequent them and do not become too cordial and too friendly and too hospitable to those people who are falsely putting allegations against you. And these accusations are not a good thing. Unfortunately, family feuds result because of accusations and false statements and rumor mongering. All these things destroy family unity. You should be cautious in your relationship. You should not entertain them too frequently, but do not break family ties with them. The ahadiths concerning severe, your family ties are severe in nature, and it prevents du'as being accepted. It stops the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings the wrath of Allah jalla majdahu. So we should be cautious about that.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question now. It says, if my sister is married to a man who has no religion, are we correct to severe family ties?
First of all, you cannot classify that as a marriage. Because if you say your sister is married to a man of no religion, that means that person is la mazhab, la deen person, and a person of no deen, no religion, there is no validity of marriage with that person. So there is no marriage as such. And this should be done in a stage, in stages. Meaning, firstly, you should explain to the sister that there is no marriage here, that there is major sin being perpetrated here. Wrath of Allah is descending. And this sin is such a sin that it is throughout the duration of your relationship with that person. And it should be severed immediately, forthwith. If not, we are going to ostracize you. And also make it publicly known that you are married to you have got a relationship, illicit, haram, prohibited relationship with a person who has got no deen. Therefore, we are going to cut relationship with you. After that, you must, as a family in unity, plan how you're going to ostracize this person morally, socially, physically, financially, monetarily, so that she feels that she's been cut off and comes to her senses. If you are not going to do it in a planned, systemized, and a well-orchestrated manner, you are going to fail.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take our next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. My question for our respected Mufti is whether stem cell storage is allowed in Islam, whereby the baby's umbilical cord blood stem cells are stored at birth, and these could be used to fight life-threatening diseases should they occur later in life. JazakAllah.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as this issue is concerned about storage of those stem cells, I am not fully acquainted with the medical aspect of it. But certain ulama I have noticed have already ruled non-permissibility of it. Personally, I have not done any research into the delicacy of it or the delicate issues of it, and I have not studied it in great detail. However, there are some reputable ulama who are saying not permissible at this stage. I personally have not made any constructive detailed research on it.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Can a lady place a tissue or paper towel in front of her face while she's in the haram?
It is absolutely permissible to do so.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question says, Assalamu alaikum to Mufti. Ma for asking so many questions. I'm not learned, so I see things I need clarification. Some Muslims on Monday and Thursday burn buhur, Loban, and Agarbati, and put fruit and milk when reading the Quran. Is this Islamic or not? Shukran.
What, they put salt and milk?
No, they put fruit and milk.
Fruit and milk. See, as far as Monday, Thursday burning Agarbati, Loban, etc., then to burn Agarbati or to burn Loban is permissible. If you were to make your house smell nice and you want to let a fragrance be prevalent in your house, you burn it every day. But don't specify any date to it. Don't specify any time to it. Sunrise, sunset, Maghrib time, Isha time. Don't specify anything. Without any parameters, without any boundaries or specification, burn it whenever you want to burn it. And also do not have any belief attached to it. that if we burn the loban, then evil spirits run away, or so-called spooks and ghosts run away. No such thing. Then you should do it whenever you want to do it, at your leisure, at your pleasure, at your time, and do not have any erroneous beliefs attached to it. In different countries, the people of those countries, they perfumigate their own homes utilizing their own perfumes. So in India, Pakistan, etc., they utilize agarbatti and loban. So on one hand, it is permissible. But once you restrict and put conditions, specifications, limitations, and once you have false beliefs attached to it, it becomes an innovation. And this innovation can tantamount to shirk and kufr once there is erroneous and fallacious beliefs attached to it. There is no need of putting fruit and milk whilst reciting Quran e Kareem. This unfortunately could have been taken from some other nations and civilizations and cultures. There is absolutely no substantiation that you will have fruit and milk near you whilst you are eating Quran e Kareem.
Jazakumullah for taking the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, can interest be used to pay rates, income taxes, fishing license, car license, VAT payable on rates and toll fees?
All that is permissible according to us.
Okay, Jazakumullah for the answer. Mr. Man, lessons lines open 8541548. Our mobile number is 08235659888. Or you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. What punishment must be given to a murtad?
First of all, a murtad is a person who has left the fold of Islam. And it is stated of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great Hazrat Muawiyah, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was classified as second Umar, Ramtullah Ali. It is stated he executed two laws very quickly, and he personally saw to his execution. One was when a person criticized Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he instructed that person should be left in front of him. And the second was that he was informed a person had become murtad. So Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz Ramtullah Alayhi stated, before I descend from my mount, behead this person. So capital punishment is for a person who leaves the fold of Islam. The logic is very simple, that those that are now have become rotten and are like cancer, they should be surgically removed, otherwise it will spread.
Jazakumullah for that. Taking the next question, Mufisab, it says, is ta'weez permissible to put in the house or shop for barakah or protection, or is it makruh? And did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever use written ta'weez, or did he disapprove of it? Please explain the mas'ala.
As far as ta'weez is concerned, it is permissible. Utilization of ta'weez, ruqya, all that is permissible. However, our belief has to be correct. The belief of taking it and using it has to be correct. And the belief at the time of writing has to be correct. And the person who writes it, his belief has to be super correct. And his sustenance has to be absolutely halal. And to use ta'weez for barakat in the shop, and the greatest and best ta'weez is a person becomes regular in salah, in the faraiz of deen, wajibat, he upholds, and he begins to emulate Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reads Quran Kareem abundantly, sends durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increasingly, then automatically barakah will come in anything. Barakah in the business, barakah in the family, barakah in the firm, the factory, everything. There will be no need for ta'weez in that case. We have made ta'weez taking, giving as a custom and a ritual, and in certain places like a business. And it is a very lucrative, flourishing business in certain quarters. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صحابی حضرت عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, he wrote a letter to the Nail, which this incident is very famous in every history book of Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, it is written. And every orator, lecturer, speaker, when they talk of Hazrat Umar رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ's greatness, they must mention the story of how he wrote a letter to the Nail. So instead of sacrificing the female, they avoided that evil practice when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who wrote a letter. That means the juror consultant say, see, this is a by way of a ta'weez. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated that about usage of Surah Fatiha, usage of Mu'azzatain, or the blowing of it, all this, most of the scholars are unanimous that to use ta'weez and to use ayat, blowing on people, etc., to remove jinnat, jadu, black magic, all that is permissible. And it is stated in the history of the Sahabas that they should write it and put it on the necks of their children. It is historically documented as such. So it is absolutely permissible. But the fear is, these days, for every other thing people want ta'weez. That is why it has become a most lucrative commercial enterprise. And every other person is writing ta'weezes and unfortunately misleading the public. On one side it is permissible, but it becomes makruh because people are now placing their faith in the ta'weez instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Best is read yourself and protect yourself. And the best protection is make salat regularly. Read Quran abundantly.
Taking the next question now, it says, up to which age are parents responsible for children's actions, and will they be answerable if their daughter chooses to remain single because she is insecure?
As long as the children are under the custodianship and guardianship of the parent, then they are responsible to see that their children do not commit sins. And in this question in particular, if they have got a daughter who prefers, because of insecurity, to remain single, then they will have to see that she does not indulge and involve herself in any major sin. Sinners, we all are. Custodians and guardians should make sure that those under them, the subordinates under them, do not involve themselves in major sins. They will be questioned as in the light of the hadith where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated clearly that everyone will be questioned about the flock. So the shepherd will be questioned about the flock. So as long as the flock is under the shepherd is accountable. So this is a very important question, and also we should regard it as a warning that all those who are our surrogates, subordinates, they are under us and they are accountable, and we are accountable and responsible. And their activities, when they tantamount to sin, will fall upon their custodians and guardians, because they have got a duty and responsibility to perform which they are shirking.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisab. Taking the next question now, does a bath constitute wudu, or does wudu have to be made after a bath?
If a person had an Islamic bath, not a kafir Western bath, a Islamic bath, that means complete head to toe is soaked, and there was water inserted in the nostrils and gargling of the mouth took place, that means complete Islamic bath, then wuzu is not a precondition to validate that ghusl. If if a person makes wuzu after that, it is good, preferable, nice.
JazakAllah for the muftisab. Taking the next question, just to remind our listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, is it correct to make a dhikr on Thursday nights at different homes?
There is a hadith kitab called Mishkat. Every darulum of repute teaches it in the second last year of a Maulana's course. The commentary of Mishkat, a famous one, is called Mirkat. And the author of that is Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali. In it, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala alhum ajma'in should not gather for zikr in the masjid or in the homes. So if you want to make zikr as much as you want to, in the masjid individually or at your home individually, and make it as much as you want to. No one will stop you, and no one has the right to stop you. Obviously, when it is salat time, go and make salat. If there are other responsibilities, go and fulfill those responsibilities. So this, which has now started, that zikr at this person's house, at that person's house, and specification, but there is no specification, leads a mubha action, an action which you do, you will get rewarded, and you don't do, you will not be punished. Such an action becomes repensable, becomes bidah, when there is limitations and restrictions put upon such an action.
Let's take the next question now. It says, Assalamu alaikum. In ihram for a woman, must one avoid the nose or must one avoid the entire face from the burqa touching? Shukran.
If a female is in strict hijab and wants to cover the face whilst in ihram, then the rule is very simple, that the cloth should not touch the entire face. The nose has no specification. By the law of ihram, a lady is permitted to expose the entire face. So, but if she wants to cover, so she must cover the entire face and not allow the cloth to touch the entire face.
Taking the next question now, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, from what time can Dhuhr Salah be read for ladies? And how must a Sajda Tilawat be read?
Sajda Tilawat, once a person reads the ayat of Sajda Tilawat, obviously, generally it is read whilst a person is reading Quran Kareem in the state of wuzu. So Sajda Tilawat will be made in the state of wuzu, either starting from a standing position or sitting position, stating Allahu Akbar, going into sijda, reciting the tasbihat of sijda, and then rising after that. Simple as that. Now, the Zuhr Salat validity at permissible time is after Zawal. Now, Zawal, if it is stated, it is, for example, 10 minutes past 12. Zawal generally lasts between 5 to 6 minutes. So after that, a person, male, female, can perform the Zuhr Salah. Females need not wait for the azan to be given. They, as soon as the Zawal time expires, they can perform their Zuhr Salah. They should not regard it as necessary to wait for the azan to be given. Generally, they are under the impression that until they hear the azan of the local masjid, then they start performing Zuhr. They do not have to wait for that azan of the local masjid or the azan on the radio station. As soon as Zawal time passes, they are at liberty to perform their Zuhr Salah. For example, a male also. if they have got a journey and now they want to perform their Zohar Salah. So as soon as Zawal passes, they perform their Zohar Salah and proceed on their journey.
JazakAllah for that, that was our last question. Some nasiha from your side now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These days, Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of deeni activities taking place. And for example, jihad fi sabilillah, da'wat al-tabligh, ishaat, nashr or ishaat, publication, orations, enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, and many, many good deeni activities are taking place. People, Alhamdulillah, perform salah, give zakah, go for hajj and umrah. Alhamdulillah, people help the orphans, the widows, the wayfarer, and also they support their families, relatives. But the beauty of deen lies in doing what is most essential at that time and what is most required at that time. Famous example that everybody knows, that you are performing some salah and in front of you there is a blind person who is going to fall into a well. That you abandon the salah and save the life of the blind person. Because at that particular time, you have to abandon the salah. Salah is a good action, you'll abandon it and you'll go and save the life. Subsequently, you will go and complete your salah. So in every day activities, we have to weigh and say what is the activity that is most worthy to be done. Must I indulge in jihad now, or enjoying what is good, or must I forbid what is evil? Must I indulge in oration, lecturing, speaking, or must I tend to the needs of my parents now? Because that is jihad. Or must I tend to the needs of my children? That is jihad. Must I tend to the needs of the ailing ones? So every case on its merit requires its own evaluation. And as a Muslim, we should not do what our heart and whims and desires desire, but do what is demanded of us. And what is demanded of us, that will reap maximum reward that particular given time. Because you're doing according to taqaza, according to requisite, according to demand of the situation. And this we should try to understand fully in our minds. May Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Jalla Majzahu grant us ability to understand this deen and practice upon it.
JazakAllah Mufisab for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah, inshaAllah. Yes, it was Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas with the Q&A program for tonight. JazakAllah to Mufti Sab once again, and we request Mufti Sab to make dua for us, inshaAllah.